who do not sleep. Help us stay our ground. Hold fast to the mother as she turns us around. Cause the cards is on a wheel. And the wheel is on a hill. And the hill is shifting sand.
This is Norman Solomon saying that you're listening to non-commercial, listener-sponsored, volunteer-driven community radio, KBOO, Portland 90.7 FM.
KBOO's End of Year Drive is happening right now. We invite you to become a member today by going to kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to the number 44321. Contribute now and help us meet our $70,000 goal by the end of the year. Join the KBOO family today at kboo.fm/give.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing, unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Nature is such a threat. We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Joshua.
Betu washte lo tanya wanchi anke chante washte na pech yuzial pelo le chante itaha o bogalake le umkipiki he washtelo. Greetings and good day and welcome my relatives. I shake your hands with a good heart. This is a voicing from the heart and it's good for all of us to be here. You're listening to First Voices Radio, Antiochus and Ghost Horse, sending you greetings and strength from the highlands of the Esopus, or what Americans and Dutch call the Catskill Mountains. Regardless, it is the highlands of the Esopus in the lands of the Muncie-speaking Lenape. This is an all-Native-hosted, all-Native-produced First Voices Radio, and Liz Hill from the Red Lake Anishinaabe Nation is the producer of First Voices Radio. You can now hear us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprouts, Spotify, as well as FirstVoicesIndigenousRadio.org for archive downloading and listening. We will continue with Kayla Kelly, guest host. On many occasions when I am away and stepped away from the microphone on First Voices Radio, and she'll be talking with Kanaka Maoli cultural practitioner and Kahu Miki Lani Young. Their conversation begins with a prayer for one Hawaiian elder, then goes on to the cultural and spiritual relationship between indigenous peoples, protection of Mauna Kea, and Mikilani Young's own prayerful path, living here with Turtle Island, thousands of miles away from the Hawaiian nation. And here is Kayla Kelly. I get to remind you that it is an honor to hear words from the islands that we don't frequent enough, we don't hear about enough.
Aloha no, Mikilani, and welcome to the show.
Aloha, Kiala. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm glad we can do this. Before we start, though, before we get on with the interview, us two Kanaka Maoli need to do a moment of stillness and quiet for Uncle Ku Ching. He's one of our kupuna who has been on the front lines to protect Mauna Kea for over 20 years now. And Uncle is in hospital recovering from a stroke. So we invite everyone hearing this program to take a deep breath with us and send pule, and that's Hawaiian word for prayer. Send your best healing energy to Uncle from wherever you are at this moment. He needs our aloha.
Yes.
Okay. Lava. I know, you know, I just thought to do that. You know, I realize it's unusual to do that on the radio, but this is First Voices Radio, and that's how us Native Po'e gotta do things sometimes, right?
Right.
And also, right. I want to let people know we're recording this conversation on November 24th. It's the National Day of Mourning, also known as Unthanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving Day by some. So we need to be grateful and prayerful for our elders, and I mean our elders of the past, the present, and the future when I say that. So it's a perfect day to have a conversation with Mikilani Young. I'm so grateful we can have this time to talk story, share something about your life and your work and what it means to be Kanaka Maoli and to be the woman that you are, practicing both the cultural ways of our ancestors and the spiritual ways while living on Moku Honu. And Moku Honu is the way Hawaiians say Turtle Island. Mahalo for doing that small moment of quiet with me for Uncle Ku. I know he means a lot to you.
Well, Uncle Ku, like many of our elders before us who stood for our sacred mountain, Mauna Wakea, as well as many of our sacred places, you know, for me, the importance of taking care of our elders physically, but also spiritually, is so crucial. I mean, for us, right, as Kanaka Maoli indigenous people to our own sacred homelands, when we pule, that's who we pule to. Besides creator, we're asking direction from our kupuna that are present and our kupuna that have transitioned into the next realms. But just because they're in those spaces, it doesn't mean they've left us. But while we do have them here, it's so crucial that we heed our kupuna who are doing beautiful movements and powerful movements. And so learn what we can. You know, that's how I was raised. Learn what we can from our elders. They're the keepers of our stories, like I hear constantly from our indigenous family here on Moku Honu on Turtle Island. You know, whether I'm with the Apaches or the Winnemom or the Utes or the Lakotas or the Mohawks or the Wabanakis, Tonaho'otoms. It's a very strong thing for us as indigenous people who are practicing and doing our traditional ways constantly.
I'm reminded just in this conversation, like, it isn't just that he needs that energy, because him or any elder being in that condition, they need that energy from us, and they're reminding me that I need to give that to them, you see, because they're even in that condition, they give to us by just reminding us that we, you know, come and pray for me by just being like that. That's the onlyest thing we can do for them, really, right? The most deeply meaningful process that we can engage for our kupuna is to be in that prayer for them while we have them, like you said, while we have them in this life. I mean, I'm going to say this for the audience. The first time I ever heard of Mikilani Young was during the protest to protect Mauna Kea. You, Mikilani, did something absolutely extraordinary, and you're all the way up there. I know you're from here, but you're up there in California, and you began a daily pule for the Mauna that ended up lasting 3 years. I mean, I can't even, I can't describe anything about that except to say what an act of dedication. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how that came about and how the protests changed your life's direction or impacted your life.
Yeah, so about 9 years ago, I've been continuously shifting. And 9 years ago, when we saw what was happening on the Mauna, when I saw what was happening on the Mauna at that time with my wife, we were watching it via social media. And I remember sitting there, and thank goodness that I had already met Kumupua Case and had learned very specific prayers for the Mauna. And as I was watching our people crying, because I'm so far from home, and I was like, I got the chance. I got the prayers. So I am staring through this technology that allows me to see what's happening and align the chants and the prayers. And that day, it took me to a whole nother level of intentions to know that my body physically in the human realm is not on my ancestral homelands. But what can I do to shift the frequencies that some people call it? The energies, the vibrations. And so I remember crying to the screen, looking at the screen, watching and just chanting Malana Maika Umepuna Mehilo or Hemu Oya Hemu, and praying for everybody that was there, and realize that's my part. And I've always been prayerful, but when everything started to happen for me, it was meeting Kumupua in 2014 and then seeing the things happening on the Mauna in 2015. And it just took me, the Mauna, and I know it's the Mauna, that took me on a whole different direction than I thought my life was supposed to go on. That I thought I was doing the Kanaka thing by teaching hula, sharing our history, explaining what the movements mean. But Akua showed me there was more. The Mauna showed me there was more. And like what we were talking about, Uncle Ku, you know, the last time I checked, the Mauna is our kupuna. And the Mauna took me on this spiritual journey, and through my life here on Turtle Island, on Mokuhonu, it's taken me on a beautiful journey to align our sacred Mauna with so many indigenous people's sacred Mauna, sacred Vai, sacred Aina, going to specific places, learning the importance of their sacredness and how they hold dear their prayers. And sitting in ceremony and prayers with many different elders and chiefs, tribes, and just feeling really blessed to be able to align our pule with their pule for their homelands. Because I truly believe the Mauna has me here for a reason. And like a child of the Mauna, I'm sure my mama is saying, hey, how are you behaving on those sacred lands? Are you helping our sacred family? So that's kind of how it all kind of started for me to understand the potency of Pule from right where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not somebody who, I mean, although I use social media, we all do. I think of it as like that if you're in Los Angeles and you have to drive the 10 freeway to get somewhere, you just go and do it. It doesn't mean you want to be in that traffic, right? And that's the way I feel about social media. I don't get into the reality TV aspect of how it gets used. And I would say it gets used that way by Hawaiians a lot, and it's exhausting to wade through it for actual information. So that was one of the reasons I really admired what you were doing, even though I myself am more and feel oftentimes more warrior. And, you know, because my pule happens before the battle.
Right.
And if I feel like I'm in a battle, I'm like, I'll do the prayer before, but once I get in there, I'm all paws in. I'm not going to stop off and do some protocol. But I admired what you were doing because it was a use of this technology in a way that I don't know how you did it, but you managed to have the sacredness. And I guess, you know, now that I think about it, like just starting this off with just a moment of pule and quiet for Uncle Ku, you know, to use the technology in that way, it's uncommon. And you did that. I respect and I aloha you for that, because that's just a really courageous thing to do, but it's also a really good use of of the technology, that it's not usually how it's done, right? So it was it was such an important thing you did. I'd like to see that become a trend if anybody else is thinking that way. But my sense of your work and your life is that, because there you talked for a moment about being in Kumuhula And right. And that in and of itself, we know that historically it's a spiritual practice, that dance is not, you know, it got turned into entertainment post US takeover of Hawaii, but not that it wasn't always for religious purposes, it was oftentimes to celebrate, but now it's this whole other kind of representation of us, and it's hard, I think it's very hard sometimes to see the sacred in it. But your work went from kumu hula to more like a kahu, and can you talk a little bit about what that means? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but you know, that's what interviews are for.
Right. Well, and I wanted to just kind of go back just a little bit, and in the transition of me doing live feeds, and it does tie into what you're seeing. For me, it's like our ancient people, it wasn't a thought, it was like we were always guided, right? We were always guided by Keakua, Naku, Nakupuna, Namaku, Nakahiko. And so whenever we move, and I'm sure Keala, as we, you and I talk, you know, and we're not just on this interview, but I just allow the conversation to go. I say allow, meaning like I just let go and have no concept of where the conversation needs to go when you and I are talking, like just on the phone, right? Mm-hmm. So in my life, I move the same way. And there's a lot of this trusting something that we don't physically see, but the crazy part is we do see Aku and everything, because mm-hmm. the trees, the food, right, the lands, the water, the animals, the elementals, which Kanakas are very well and very connected to. And one day I just remember being in Kumeyaay Land, San Diego, and I just remember getting this overwhelming feeling, and I'm like, that's it, I just did a live feed. I didn't know what direction it was going on. And honestly, that's not me, actually. This, I'm not a live feed. I don't need to be seen. Mm-hmm. I'm okay, because the only person I want to be seen by, and he's not even a person, is Akua. Mm-hmm. And so I just started the live feed, and all of a sudden, it was like I was getting all these messages, and I was like, wait, what? And I'm not talking about humans. Like, I could sense things. So all of a sudden, here I am doing it 4 times a day. And then I did move down to 3 times a day, but it was for 3.5 years. And I remember my partner at that time asked me, like, I think we were only in the first 10 days. She goes, how long are you going to do this for? I said, I don't know, as long as Akua wants me to do it. As I was going through the process, like, I just never thought about what I was going to say. It just happened. And I'm like, oh, okay, right before I would go on, Akua, Keakua, Nakua, Nakupuna, Namakua, Nakahiko, this is your life, not mine. I'm just a vessel, so please speak through me. Please guide me. Please direct me. Whatever needs to be said, whatever needs to be done, let me have no fears. Let me have no doubts, trusting you completely. And it just evolved into, I was just praying and praying, and I'm like, I believe in manifestation, and we got to get everybody chanting these chants to believe Mauna Kea is restored to her true splendor.
Mm.
And from that, it just exploded to me meeting people, not just in, I mean, really a lot of people on Turtle Island, but around the world. I mean, I've spoken to people in Poland, and there was a lady, when I would do something, she would be riding her bike. If I'm walking, she would walk to a line. And so for me, it's a different approach, because I can feel the vibration. This is why hula, for me, hula, you're right, is spiritual. Because to me, the movements is the physical appearance of wanting something to appear or happen. So part of it is the speaking it into existence, but the other part is actually doing. And the doing for us is the dancing. I mean, I think it's in all cultures. This is why we dance. This is why we chant or sing or whatever it is. But I just wanted to share that. I hope I didn't go too much off topic.
Not at all. No. No. I admire and respect when somebody can do what you're talking about. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you, because it's a refreshing story to hear, to share with people. And I remember the first time I went to the Museum of the Native American. And mm-hmm. and it's, you know, you walk down that whole kind of mall area. And I don't mean to get off topic either, but this is just to speak to you doing that kind of prayer is a kind of anchor, because you're 2,500 miles away from home. But there's a kind of energy mm-hmm. and strength in anchoring that chant. any of those chants. And speaking all the way over here to Mauna Kea, which is, if measured from its base, the tallest mountain on Earth. And it is in the Pacific, it is, if you measure just from the sea level up, it's, I think, the second highest. We also have Mauna Loa right across the way, which is the widest mountain on Earth. And it's a live, living volcano. Pele does a lot of work there. So I'm reminded about your prayer because the first time I went to that museum, there's this, I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's this massive pohaku from, I think, from this island. I'm not sure which island it's from. Might actually be from Molokai. I have to check. But it's massive, okay? Like, it would have taken who knows what to get it from here to there. And I'd heard about this, and I thought, that's weird. Like, this we're not Native Americans, and they keep trying to Native Americanize us because of Senator Inouye and because that's what Uncle Sam wants to do to the Hawaiian people. We are not Native Americans. Anybody listening to this, we're not American. Hawaiians are not American. So just, you know, deal with that.
Right.
But anyways, I'm walking and I'm by myself and I'm walking to go see this museum, but I wanted to see that pohaku, which is on the back of the museum, on the backside. So I see it from far away. Oh, I felt like I was going to cry seeing it, because I was like, oh my God, it's so alone over there. And then as I got closer, here's what happened. I got closer to it and I felt its aloha. It is, I mean, I don't know how they chose that pohaku, but it is joyous in that place, which is extraordinary to me because it's so by itself. But I saw when I got to it, it's like the anchor for that building. It's positioned in this way that felt to me like, oh, it's anchoring something huge. Many prayers are anchored in this pohaku being here, and many prayers would have gone with it. And it was so, I felt incredible joy when I got next to it, you know, and I had to hug it. I'm reminded of that when I think of you as that pohaku. Like, you anchor this kind of mana, this Hawaiian thing that we as a people bring into this world by being who we are. But we forget it. I forget it. And you don't. So mahalo to you for that, because that's not an easy thing to take all of what you said and what you know and to pull it into a manifested energy, which is what a prayer is, right?
Right. You know, being on this journey and being away, it's funny, I was just today earlier, I was talking to my Wintun family just to say, hey, how you guys doing? You know, because just like you, I celebrate how I'm going to say this, haʻolilono ikamakahiki to everybody. That's what I do celebrate. And it's our season, our 4-month season.
Yeah, tell people what makahiki is so that they know what that means.
Well, on November 17th is when we celebrate our New Year's. It's when we have the changing of the season for us. We have two main seasons, Kū and Lono season. Lono season is a time when we have a bunch of ceremonies. And I'm a very simple person when I say stuff like this. But anyways, we have ceremonies. We take out offerings, hokupus, out to the ocean, to our ahus, our heiau, and then, of course, to our ali'i. These are in honor of Lono, which Lono is our god of harvest, of love. And when we do this, when we give all these offerings, it's an honor so that we can see the fertility of the land keep going for us to keep feeding us. So we feed the gods, the ancestors, and they feed us. But it's also a time of a lot of rest, a lot of games, a lot of feasting. And it's not on one particular day. It's for 4 months. We're not allowed to fight, argue, but to really just spend time in love. And for me, the deeper sense of that is because when you think about it, like I was just telling my Wintun family, when I was talking story with them, I was sharing about this space that I'm in. And again, I want to shout out Alosira Miwoks for allowing this Kamaka Maoli to be on your sacred lands. But as I'm here, I'm growing food, and the goal is to get other people who are in a like-minded way of praying around when we grow food. And Lono season, like I was telling them, I said, with the chickens and the lambs, because I'm tending to them and I'm praying with them, I know what kind of energy is going into my food that I'm growing, and the eggs and the chickens, like all the animals and the elementals when I needed more rain, praying. So in doing Lono season, for me, it's Lono season for me is all the time, because we're going to kind of constantly need to grow food. But for the 4 months is really crucial. The main part, it's like, it's kind of like what people say when they go to, they talk about church, is giving their 10%. Well, this is how we give our 10% and mm-hmm. above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, we didn't have no such thing as money. It was all about giving the best of what we tended to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I want pono food, because we can say we want I pono food, but if the person gardening, or if you want to call it garden tending to the lands, is not pono, is the food really pono?
Mm-hmm.
So lono season makes sense why we're supposed to be celebrating, having fun, not fighting, because we're talking about food. And that, to me, reminds me the difference between medicine and poison. And so what we do this time of lono season is really crucial for ku season. Because then we shift over to ku season, and that's when the other things can happen. Now, we're off and we can do that, but we've already laid all our prayers during this time, these past 4 months. And I wanted to tie in one more thing, is that I'm a firm believer that when, you know, like in the Ahupua'a system, in our village mentality, you know, you had your kahus, you had your chiefs, you had your farmers, your fishermen, and anyone who had anybody doing the type of work you're doing, I mean, they show it in movies too. You should always have a kahu, a priest, a medicine person that is praying for you so you can continue to do the work. Because you can't do it alone. It's going to take a village. And you need a village to support the work that, you know, Akua has placed in front of you. So I want to say that to you, Kiala.
I appreciate you saying that. And I know that media work isn't considered typically in Hawaiian world as that kind of level, but it's all of those things as well. And it's also about manifesting. It's bringing something into existence that wasn't there before and would not otherwise be there. And that's why there's always, for anything I would do, there's always prayers in advance. Usually a few complaints, like, why me, God? Like, you're the opposite. You're like, okay, let's do this. And I'm like, wait, what? Pull the brakes. My little sound effects there for radio. But kahu is like a medicine person. It's the same thing. That's what mm-hmm. kahu do. And you're walking on that path, and it's a difficult thing to do. Well, it seems difficult to me, but you're doing it with incredible grace because, as you said, you're in someone else's country, and yet you're coming, you're being there as Kanaka Maoli. I know you've talked about Chief Kaleen to me, and maybe you can speak a little bit about her and her influence.
So Chief Kaleen, if people don't know, is the chief of the Winnemem-Wintu tribe, who is the chief of Mount Shasta, or in their language, Buyumpuyuk. I was living on Tongva lands, Los Angeles, or actually technically I was on Tataviam lands. But anyway, she shared with me about her story about the salmon, and that's their ancestors. And by the end of that, she's like, why don't you come to ceremony? And one thing I know indigenously, or at least Kanaka Maoli, when somebody invites you, you jump on it. You don't wait. You don't right. think about it. Later on, Chief has said to me, you know, I only invite once. And this is after I already accepted, I went. Chief Kaleen is amazing. She's an amazing chief and an amazing leader. So passionate about her people. And I've lived with them for 4 months, but I've been with their tribe doing work with them for the past almost 9 years. And so while being with Chief, just learning more about the salmon, learning about their lands, the lands that she lives on, about her ancestral connection to Mount Shasta. And she has a deep love for Mount Nakea, always standing with us. I first started to stand for Mauna Kea as far as like physically at the TMT headquarters out in Pasadena, and then started to call in the Tongvas. And then all of a sudden, tons of Tongvas and all these indigenous people started to come around me that lived in California. And from there, Akua just took me on this very nomadic / voyaging, because my people say, you're not a nomadic, you're a voyager. I was like, kind of the same thing. One is water, one is land. Okay. But I was like, here I am traveling across Turtle Island, literally trusting Akua in how I was going to get gas money, how was I going to eat, didn't know which direction I was going. All I knew, I needed to get to the East Coast, to Maine, to the Wabanaki tribe. And along the way, just stopping within different lands, even if I didn't know the tribe, just praying on their, by their water, praying for their nation, bringing whole kupu to their nation. And here I am. Now stationary on Sierra Miwok temporarily, but I feel like I'm spiritually connected deeply to all the tribes and really have so much respect for them because I can relate to it as a Kanaka Maoli.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a very challenging and delicate path to walk. You're doing a kind of work that brings that ancient Hawaiian way and knowledge with you to where you are up there in Indian country. Miki Leni, I can't believe it. We're actually running out of time here already. I want to say mahalo to you for being willing to share something about your story. Can you let people know where they might be able to get in touch with you or how they can learn more about your work?
Yes, you can either go to the website, mikileniyoung.com. You can also find me on Facebook or Instagram under Kumu Miki. And my prayer is that we just unify and align our prayers to just really heal our sacred world together and align with each of our life ways. So mahalo, mahalo, mahalo.
And that was our guest host from time to time, Keala Kelly and Miki Leni Young from the Kanaka Maoli Nation of Hawaii. I want to thank both of them for coming on to First Voices Radio. Again, thank you. This is the voice from Mother Earth speaking to you. There is a nation of fear existing that has chosen to follow a terrible path. Someone needs to speak of the unspeakable that many refuse to see or even accept as reality. To look with your eyes is one thing, but not to acknowledge is another. And whether you accept the graft and corruption happening right in front of you is another. Mother Earth dearly needs your time and effort. Welcome in return to First Voices Radio. My name is Teokas and Ghost Horse. You'll be hearing the next four songs in a row without commercial here on First Voices Radio.
We're on the road, we're leaving now. Gonna find the place they call tomorrow. Tomorrow. It's the place we dreamed about. If we go, there ain't no doubt they'll follow. They'll follow. Suddenly we've come this far. I realize there's so much more to this life. This life. And I believe in you, and if you believe in me, we're there by daylight. Take me to the stars. We can never go too far, too far. Take me to the stars. Let's find out who we are, who we are. I wrote a song with you in mind. We can pass the past with you in mind for right now. Dream of you and I, seven sacred teachings. Show us why and show us how. Show us how. Hear the voice of Mother Earth. She's asking what she's really worth. She's crying. Take me to the stars. We can never go too far. Yeah, take me to the stars. Let's find out who we are. Who we are.
We are sky watchers.
Yeah, we are
star people.
Yeah, we are.
situations out of my control. I knew what I've ever known. I'm tired of living that way. At least I know I feel something.
Child, how this place was settled, the murder and the shame, secrets being exposed, yeah. Truth we must uphold, yeah. Constant fight for justice to pave the way for change. Living in denial, going through the same old cycle, penal colony survival, depending on your ball and chain. System gonna customize you, the man ain't gonna redefine you. Gotta hunt like a nighttime spider, depending on your ball and chain.
But see, my soul is getting heavy. Pressure on my back and I could barely hold it steady. In a cold world, but daily I keep sweating, cause I'm vulnerable, locked in a system that's so deadly, And now I'm racing to build a foundation, to raise a better life for the younger generation. Discriminations, we have to change those, and mix up all colors to form a rainbow. Cause this ball and chain has incarcerated my freedom, born into the system and wasn't given a reason. Same cycle continues and follows the same sequence, screaming for a change and it's bringing out in the demons. Cause this ball and chain got me feeling some type of way. Ball and chain got me feeling like I'm a slave. It's like I'm swimming out, but an anchor's got me drowned, but still I survive. And to keep alive, I gotta pray, pray, pray.
We may find the need to mix up all the colors, break down the walls of race. Get among, gotta do your time now, gotta take it in your stride now, gotta make what you can come alive now, depending on your ball and chain.
was a four-song set of the most played songs you heard here on First Voices Radio for this year, 2022. I'd like to thank you for joining the whole crew, including First Voices Radio producer Liz Hill, Kayla Kelly for co-hosting, and myself, Teokas and Ghost Horse. It sounds odd to say, and myself, Teokas and Ghost Horse, as if having to recenter everything around myself, as opposed to yourself, my other self, any self at all. You get it. Or maybe you don't. So let me outro those last four songs without commercial interruptions as they were played. Star People by Indian City and composed by the late great Vince Fontaine out of Canada, followed with Reap and Sow by Adrian Thomas of the band One Way Sky out of Southern Arizona. The third song is Ball and Chain by Xavier Rudd and J-M-I-L-L-A, Jay Miller from Australia. And the last song is 1492 from the Earth Surface People's 500 Years EP. I want to thank you for joining all of us on First Voices Radio, for listening, debating, agreeing, disagreeing, thinking, being present, and that maybe you made Mother Earth happy. Le unki piki he washtelo. Ushimolo ye oyate wani wa chichuelo. It's good for all of us to be here. And I'm humbled to say that I want you, that I want all life to live. My name is Teokas and Ghost Horse.
grass that the dawn corrodes into the title montage of a new episode. Whisper wells up from the deeps untrod, overflows the channel and spreads abroad, gathers in power like a lightning rod. Ooh-wee, all the sights I've seen in the depth of the world and the heart of a dream. Ooh-wee, all the places I've been, each one reflected in the states I'm in. Oh, states I'm in. Sights I've seen in the depth of the world and the heart of a dream. Ooh-wee, all the places I've been, each one reflected in the states I'm in. Oh, states I'm in.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, also heard at translator K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM and translator K282BH.